morning, everyone. Welcome to Mother Goose Got Punked, Next Generation Visual Storytelling for Nonprofits. My name is Kivi LaRue-Miller with NonprofitMarketingGuide.com. We focus on helping smaller organizations and communications departments of one do smart, savvy communications. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our four panelists, give you a sense for what we're going to do today together in the next hour, and then we'll get right into it. We are going to have time for questions at the end. I encourage you to use the hashtag to send in questions. I'll be looking at that while they're presenting. And I may choose to take some questions during the presentations. Otherwise, we'll do them at the end. So let me introduce the panel to you. First in the sporty beret is Aaron Bramley, who is co-founder and director of communications and education for Lights, Camera, Help, which is a nonprofit that, among other things, hosted and hosts the first film festival dedicated to cause-driven films. Kara here is a former broadcast journalist and the founder of Storytellers for Good, which works with nonprofits to tell their stories through short, high-impact films. Nancy Farese here is a social documentary photographer and founder of Photo Philanthropy, which connects photographers and nonprofits. And on the end, we have Ben Herentig, who's the founder and creative director of Micro Documentaries, where he's worked with on hundreds of documentaries for purposeful organizations. He also works on the Persuasive Tech Lab at Stanford. And I want to also say Nancy Cole, our awesome organizer in the audience there, who helped pull this all together. As we were discussing this panel, our challenge was to do a couple of different things. We wanted to be thought-provoking, but we also wanted to be very helpful and useful and tactical. So there's a good mix, I think you'll see, of strategy and tactics in the panel today. Aaron is going to start by covering some of the fundamentals of visual storytelling. Those of you who have kind of learned this on the job will find, I think, that Aaron's presentation will help you fill in some of those gaps in your knowledge. Kara is going to then shift towards the content of the visual story and specifically focusing on characters and the importance of characters in telling a good story. Nancy is then going to shift in to the emotional content and power of a visual story and talk a little bit about some of those choices you need to make. For example, do you focus on the hope or the despair when you're telling your nonprofit story? And then once you've created your story, how are you going to make sure that more than just your mom and your brother and sister see the thing? Ben is going to talk about distribution. So our challenge to you then is to think about good questions. Again, use the hashtag MGGP and ask some hard questions. I would also suggest that those of you that do video, try to translate a lot of what we're learning about today to photography. And those of you that are more photographers, think about the video. We have experts on both of those, and I want to make sure that we do focus on more than just the video today. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Aaron.
Great, thank you. Let me go ahead and pull up my presentation here. Is it full screen over here? I'm working on it. In the top left? Great. Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much for coming out. As Kivi said, my name is Aaron Bramley. I'm the Director of Communications and Education for Lights, Camera, Help. In addition to hosting the world's first film festival for cause-driven organizations and cause-driven film, we also host educational programming where we'll actually go into an organization and teach them how to start creating film for themselves. So the idea is that a nonprofit having no experience in film would be able to take one of our workshops and then actually be able to then create film for themselves to start telling their story digitally. Just as a side note, our call for submissions for the festival is opening on April 5th. If any of you guys have some films that you'd like to submit, it's completely free. Go ahead and check out lightscamerahelp.org at that point to go ahead and get started. But I'm going to give you some essentials for getting started with capturing your story digitally. This is both for photo and video. And really what the idea is that I want you to be sort of thinking about what it takes to create digital visual stories and start doing some of these things yourself. So when you're creating a digital visual story, there's actually three stories that you wind up telling. There's a story that you set out to tell, and that's the one that you conceptualize, that's the one that you write down, that you storyboard, that you talk about with friends, right? And then there's the one that you actually capture onto film or pixels digitally, right, for the most part these days. Sometimes people say really unexpected things or there's really unexpected moments when you're doing that, and that can actually change the story that you wind up telling. finally, there's the story that you edit and publish, right? And some might argue that this is the most important story that gets told because this is the one that people see. I'll also argue that that's the most important story because I'm an editor myself and I'm extremely biased. So the idea is that I'm going to go ahead and say that that's the most important part. But for those of you who are paramount in the other parts of the process, right, you may think that the other parts are more important. And that's totally fine. It's okay. But just recognizing that there are three stories that get told. And now I'm going to give you some tips for trying to make sure that those three stories are actually as close together as possible so that what you envision is actually what you get at the end, right? So in order to tell the story that you set out to make, this is an example of a production grid that I create for creating films. You could do this for a slideshow or anything like that. And what you'll see is that there's actually a timestamp on the left-hand side. So what as the seconds are clicking by in your video, you can see what content is going on in the video, what's happening visually, if there's text on the screen. If I were having someone be interviewed, there would be interview questions in this grid as well, right? It's a way to sort of really organize exactly what's going on in a video or in a slideshow at any particular moment. So you can also see there's a section for comments, and this is how I keep my whole production team on target so that everybody sort of knows what's going on. When I'm working with my clients to create videos like this, I'm making sure that we're all on the same page at every stage of the process. So let's go ahead and take a look at how this translates to a video. I'm just going to show you the first 18 seconds because you can see that that's all that's shown on the grid here. And just go ahead and take a look, and hopefully our Wi-Fi will work well for us here. And audio.
All the birds and all the bees making honey and melodies for you.
All right, so you see the text when you got sick here, 18 seconds. We are at 17, approximately 18 seconds, right? So you can see that it all sort of stays on target. What you also see is Mother Goose up there giving you some of what she would do, right? The session title is Mother Goose Got Punked, so don't follow her advice necessarily, but she just tells the same stories that she always tells. I want to encourage you guys, when you're thinking about telling digital visual stories, to think outside of those typical stories that your organizations tell. So this video, for instance, is for an organization that focuses on defeating diarrheal disease, right? Diarrhea is the number two killer of children in the world, pun sort of intended on that. But the idea is that they're telling the story rather than through sick children showing lots and lots of pictures of sick children. They're talking about the story of mothers having the power to heal their children, right? So thinking outside those boxes a little bit. Next is the story that you capture, right? And I encourage you, when you're putting together your story, that you need to put your director's cap on. And so what does that mean? What are typical attributes that you guys associate with a director? Anybody? Organized? Leadership?
Not necessarily.
Bossy, right? Maybe egomaniacal a little bit. Wanting exactly what they need, right? You have to do that a little bit when you're creating a story, because you need to make sure that what you're getting is exactly what you want. Is the lighting wrong, right? Can you fix it? Did your interview subject, you know, show up wearing a shirt that just clashes with the background terribly, right? Make sure that they go home and change it, right? Demand those things that you need in order to make sure that your video gets told properly. And I'm going to give you a few tips a little bit later on so that you guys can start to internalize a little bit about what some of those things are. Next, use what you have, right? So as an organization, you might not have a lot of money or you might not have a budget to hire a huge production team, but what do you have? Do you have volunteers with smartphones? Do you have, a flip video camera? Do you have $350 where you can buy a camera, a microphone, and some editing software, right? What are those things that you have, and really think about using those. I put together a video where I had to shoot 12 interviews in the same room, so I had to find lots and lots of different things in order to make different backgrounds for all these different people, right? Goodwill was a great place for that, you know? So thinking about those sorts of things that you have. You saw in that video that I showed you that there were some clips in there that maybe didn't come from the organization that I was shooting for. So that stuff came from, you saw videoblocks.com, which is sort of the borrowing or stealing almost kind of part where I use a free trial in order to get some great free footage. I want to encourage people when you're capturing to think a little bit about copyright as well, and making sure that you're not violating that, right? So using sources to find free music rather than using your favorite Radiohead song or whatever that is, right? So making sure that you're not violating copyright. And it can be a little bit tricky. Next, I'm going to give you some resources on finding free stuff. So like I said, not violating copyright. There's a copyright out there that's actually called Creative Commons, where people are licensing the work that they have for everyone else to use in some form or another, oftentimes with just attribution. So if you need a picture, say, of a mother and a child, right, you can go to search.creativecommons.org, and you can search for mother and child with the filter on that allows you to be able to use it for your use, and you can go ahead and do that. There's a whole bunch of other resources. Don't bother necessarily write all these down. I always encourage people to take pictures of slides like this, which is why Mother Goose is saying cheese down in the corner there. But the idea is that these are some really great resources for finding free stuff. I recently just found freesound.org for tracking down sound effects, right? So if you need any sound effect really in the world, you can just search for it and download it, and then with attribution, you can go ahead and use that, right? Also, if you guys have any resources like this, please send it to our hashtag, hashtag MPPG, or MGGP, rather. I'm going to go ahead and put together a blog post about all the resources that you guys have, as well as some of these, and incorporate them into a post afterwards for you all to check out. Finally, there's the story that you edit and publish. Again, using what you have, do you have a Mac with iMovie on it? Do you have a Mac with iPhoto on it? Do you have a PC with Windows Movie Maker, right? You can actually do some stuff with these programs. So starting with those rather than making a huge investment up front is a really great way to get going, because learning those simple video editing software is really, really crucial. Now, there's also YouTube.com/editor. The YouTube video editor is actually gotten significantly better. You can add transitions, clips, titles, text, that sort of thing. Really fantastic resource that is getting better and better all the time. So you upload your clips and you can go ahead and edit your video that way. Animoto is a great way to put together free slideshows. Nonprofits get great free accounts from them. So you enter your EIN number and you can go ahead and track down a free account, take some photos, add it to a slideshow, automatically gets animated, automatically has music added to it. Really great resource. Finally, TechSoup is a great resource for technology. I think the Adobe Premiere Suite for video editing software is $60 on there right now, which for a nonprofit is a phenomenal deal. It's not the most recent version, but you know, this is industry standard stuff that you're getting for extremely cheap. Next, take to the next level is, you know, do you have a class that you can take, right, to learn some of these additional software, right? A lot of great stuff is available at your public access television station, even. So long as you are going ahead and producing content for that station, right, you can actually take classes. You can really find phenomenal stuff right in your community to learn some of this great stuff. And next, in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to take you guys through 5 quick photo and video tips. So this is going to be a little bit of a whirlwind, but stay with me here. The rule of thirds is really important for making a shot much more interesting. So what's interesting about this photo? Well, the subject of the photo is actually lining up with one of these thirds, right? You need to think in terms of frames. So breaking your frame into 9 equal parts and lining up the subject of your shot with one of these crosses, right? If you're interviewing someone, make sure that their eyes or nose are right on that cross, sort of in the upper corners over here, right? Just going to make things a lot more interesting. Next, audio is actually more important than video when you're shooting video. I know that's kind of surprising, but people are far more likely to watch a video with poor image quality and good audio than they are to watch a video with poor audio quality and good video quality. So next time you're watching a video and you're like, what don't I like about this? It's probably because there's something really annoying in the sound. This is the basics of 3-point lighting, which is sort of the standard for lighting a video or a photo shoot. And you can see that you have your main light over here, right, sort of at a 90 degrees with a fill light, which is essentially something that's going to get rid of some of the shadows. And then finally a backlight, which is going to light up behind the person and sort of, or some people call this a hair light, and sort of make your interview subject bounce off the background a little bit. So there's a few folks taking photos of that. I'll let them finish up before I advance the slide. Very cool. The next portion of this, and I'll go ahead and make sure that all this stuff is up on our hashtag afterwards as well, since we're cruising along here. The next tip is that you are not George Lucas, so don't make the mistake of thinking that you are. Typically, what I mean by this is in editing, the most common transition that we should use in editing is actually what's called a cut-to-cut, which is actually no transition at all. It's film running directly from one clip into another, and that's sort of professional, right? So stay away from those clock wipes and those star wipes that iMovie lets you use. There's nothing more that's a dead ringer for I'm an amateur than pretending to be George Lucas and putting a clock wipe into your film. The last part is picking up a camera, and there's actually two tips that I'd like to share here. Just sort of getting it in your hands and really using it, shooting as much footage as you can. The first one is called the 5-second rule, and that's when you're shooting video. Withstain a single shot for 5 seconds. The tendency is to want to move around a whole bunch and really try to capture everything, but really commit to a shot, focus on it for at least 5 seconds, and that's going to make your footage a lot better. As far as this tip relating to cameras and still photography, the best thing that I can tell you is take a lot of photos at first, right? Digital has made it super cheap and easy for us to take so many photos, so take as many as you can and then go through them and say, hey, what looks good, right? What should I then combine and put into a story? So with that, send any questions to our hashtag. I'll be getting back to a few folks, but I'm going to pass it off to Kara here, who is going to take you through some other great information.
Aaron, we did have one question for you.
Yeah.
While Kara's pulling up her deck. What about an audio column in your grid? Was it on there and we just didn't see it? Or
In my grid, there actually wasn't an audio column because it was just there was just music, and that was covered in the content portion. But in a normal video where I'm actually shooting an interview subject, or I actually just did a video that was based around sound effects, there actually is an audio column. The idea behind the production grid is that you can include anything that's going to be in the video in there, and you should, so that you can really be as descriptive as possible so that everybody knows exactly what's happening at every second in a particular video.
Great. Thank you. Kara.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Happy to be here. So I run an organization called Storytellers for Good, and we create short, inspiring, emotionally compelling films for nonprofits. So I'm going to speak today a little bit about characters, and my background was as a character. I was a TV news reporter for almost 10 years, that person that would stand out in the snowstorms and tell everyone else to go home. That was me. And so my experience with characters comes in almost daily having to go out and tell a story about a topic and find a person to help personalize that. And the idea in using characters is, as Maya Angelou says, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you make them feel. And characters have a unique way of allowing people to feel versus just know something. And so the idea is that if you have an issue that you're trying to discuss, something maybe that impacts lots and lots of people, the best way to allow someone to experience what that issue is all about is to whittle it down to just one person that your audience can connect to, or a series of people. Mother Teresa says, if I look at the mass, I will never act. If I look at one, I will. So there's a case study out of Carnegie Mellon, an organization called Save the Children, devised two different studies, one that was statistics-oriented. So in one African country, 3.2 million stand on the brink of starvation. In another, 2.4 million have no easy access to clean water. In a third, almost 4 million need emergency shelter. So one test group was given this information. Another one was given a story about a girl named Rokia, 7 years old from Mali, Africa, desperately poor and faces a threat of severe hunger or even starvation. With your support, Save the Children will work with Rokia's family and community to help feed her, provide her with education, as well as basic medical care and hygiene education. So what may not surprise you is that in these scenarios, people, hands down, gave to Rokia's cause more so than the statistic story. But what might be even more surprising is that they did a third scenario where they combined the statistics and Rokia's story. So they had those powerful numbers plus this personal story. And what they found was, even with those numbers, the pure story still raised more money. So I'm going to speak briefly about what kinds of characters to work with. I came up with this acronym of GOAL, So you want to find people who are genuine, and by that I mean people who can be vulnerable, people who can share their story as it really is. And, you know, whether it doesn't mean they have to cry per se, but they need to be able to speak in a way that other people can resonate with, because essentially we're all looking to find ourselves in stories. You need people who are outgoing. So in the broadcast industry, there's an understanding that if someone's energy level is up here, they're going to come across about here on video. So if someone's energy level is down here, they're even one step below. So you want to find people who have that energy. And, you know, there's always people who really want to be on camera, you know, in the news industry, you know, all these people are like, put me on. And hands down, it was those people that translate best on film. You know, the people that you have to convince because they're so shy to be on camera, generally they don't necessarily come across well on camera. People who are articulate, so someone can have a really amazing story, but if they don't articulate it well, it doesn't come across well. And someone who's lively, someone who's just really memorable and unique. So I have just a quick example here of each of these to share with you from stories that we've done in the last year. So just play that.
I'm running not just for me. I'm running for all the homeless people. I just started crying. I just got to be strong for them. Be strong for my mother. You talk for myself. That's all I got.
Kindness is a high five. Nice pace. Keep it going. Oh man, nothing. That would have been a sweet one. Beautiful. It's a spark of energy that you're transferring from yourself to another. And who doesn't want a high five? Hey, how are you? Let's go. Double high fives today. Yeah, all right.
I was concerned about if people don't have food, it would be bad for them, and we all want life to be good for people. It feels great just because it feels great to help a lot of people that didn't have food.
My friend that went out with me the first time, she was just like, I could never do that. Hi. Hi. This is an enlarged photograph of my smile.
She's holding up a big sign with teeth, smiling.
This is my car. And I have a big smile on the front and the back. Hi.
So that's what I mean by lively. So just a couple of quick points about how to work with characters. So the first thing you want to do is put your characters at ease. So you want to put them in an environment that's comfortable for them. So, you know, with Claire, we did a sit-down interview with her, but it wasn't until we brought her out on the street with her big smile sign that she came alive. And you want to use a lavalier microphone. You can buy one at Radio Shack for $20. And when you clip a microphone on someone and allow them to be free to do what they're doing and then talk to you, it takes away that sense of being interviewed. One way that I like to work with a videographer is when they're all set up to go, rather than having them say, you know, okay, you're on, lights, camera, action. I just have the videographer come up to me and put their hand on my shoulder. And so I'm having a conversation with someone and the camera starts rolling and the person doesn't even realize necessarily that the quote unquote interview has begun. How you listen is very important in how a character shows up for an interview. Just making simple eye contact with the person and keeping that eye contact. I find that before I do an interview, I always make sure that I take a few deep breaths, that I've cleared my mind, that I'm not thinking about what my next question is going to be, that I'm really, really present with them. And the more present I am with the interview subject, the more present they are and the more alive they come in the interview process. Sometimes when you're telling an emotional story, you have to ask tough questions. This person has entrusted you with their story to tell it, and they're going to be uncomfortable at times. And if their emotion makes you uncomfortable and you race to the next question, you're going to miss that opportunity to really capture the story that they're allowing you to tell. And so sometimes you have to ask tough questions. You have to ask them again. Being comfortable with silence. So oftentimes the best sound bites that I get come from not asking any more questions, from asking a question, having the person respond, and just leaving that space, that uncomfortable space that people naturally want to fill. And it's sometimes when I allow that space to breathe that people show up and say something really genuine or effective. Oftentimes when an interview is over, I'll just keep the camera rolling. So the person, their mental note goes off like, okay, the interview's done, I can relax. And again, that's when some of the best sound bites come out from there as well. Last thing is aim tight. So this is the idea that when you're trying to capture a story, you're trying to allow the audience to be there with the person. And a way to do that, because they're not there with the person, is to exaggerate. So you want to get close-ups. You want to get their eyes. You want to get their feet. You want to get their hands. You want to give a real sense of who this person is. You want to focus on any kind of natural sounds that might be in their environment, capture those sounds. And just pay attention to any detail, you know, what the person's wearing, something about their house, a unique sign, a unique painting, something that helps tell that story. My last point is that while I have these, you know, criteria for what I think makes a great character, I'm always amazed by how it's so true that everyone has a story. There's a guy named Steve Hartman who has this amazing assignment for CBS News. It was a segment, actually, that's transitioned to something else now, but it was called Everyone Has a Story, and he would take a map, and he would throw a dart on the map, and he would go to that town, and he'd go through the phone book and just randomly pick someone. And it was amazing how every week he would find the most amazing stories this way. So you might be sitting there thinking, oh, I don't have any of these goal people in my organization. But if you work with people and you really listen, you'd be amazed how so many people can turn into characters and have the most amazing stories. So thank you.
Thank you, Kara.
While they're switching, I want to thank all of you who are tweeting. You guys are doing a great job covering the session. We appreciate that. Just so you know, you can continue to send in questions as well. I'm monitoring what's up here, so go ahead and send those in. The hashtag is MGGP.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Nancy Faris. I'm with Photo Philanthropy, and I'm also a little hoarse today, so I apologize. Can you hear me? Is everybody... Can you hear me? Okay. Up a little bit more. I'm going to take some of these themes that we've been talking about related to emotion, content, character, and focus them in on the still image, which is what our organization is focused on. I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about what we call the hope versus despair continuum, because as a shooting for nonprofits, there's the tendency always, I think, to show the grittiest and the most challenging image, and we want to sort of talk about how you can present images in a positive and effective way. Is it here? Okay. So we are focused on the power of the single image, and especially here, it's interesting to be here at South by Southwest. It's interesting to be here in the environment that we all live in, where we're inundated with digital stories, digital media, visual images that can be so overwhelming. We want to focus today and through our photography with the idea of slowing things down, framing the story, thinking carefully about who that character is, and slowing and capturing people's focus such that they own a story, so that if you are presenting media on behalf of a nonprofit,
I think that's going to be our last question. Thank you all for sticking with us this hour. I hope you learned something on both the tactics and the strategy, and we hope to see you just...